This podcast has a little bit of language not safe for work.
It's the Lowdown!
Listeners, thanks for tuning in to this special collaborative episode of the Lowdown. I'm joined by a special co-host. You know him as Basher from the Multicast. Actually, I was going to put out this episode a couple weeks later, but I found out that today is Basher's birthday, and I'm a cheap mofo, so this is the best way I can pay him back. Today's guest at hand is rapper, producer, extraordinaire Samus. I actually found out about her through DJ Cutman, previous guest on the Lowdown. I actually wanted to have her on the show to talk about her Kickstarter, but she had an awesome interview with Christine Hassel of Geek Girl Con. You should definitely check it out. Kind of took away all the questions I wanted to ask. But the format for today's episode, the first half I have available here. We're going to talk about the life, motivation, success stuff, get to know about Samus a little bit more. And the second half you're going to be able to find on Basher's website, biasbear.com. And that's where you can hear all the more video game pertinent nerdy stuff. So enjoy.
He was gaming away, actually, so it didn't really bother my co-host one bit. But
I completely forgot about we were doing it anyway. And then he reminded me, like, oh, let me just fucking yell at her on Twitter. That usually works with people. If you yell at them on Twitter, like, they usually come right coming.
See, we are a group of professionals, you know. This is how we roll. The new generation, the generation us, you know.
Aren't we Z?
Oh, it wasn't even the Twitter that made me. It was the email. I checked my email for, like, because I'm going to be proctoring a test for my students next week. So I've been getting all of these crazy emails and, like, ridiculous questions. So I checked my email and I just saw your email. I was like, oh, my God, I completely, completely forgot.
Oh, you're like me.
You know what? Let's take that first point then. You know, you're a teacher? You're a sensei? You know, like, tell us a little bit about that.
I wish they would call me a sensei, but really, I'm a teaching assistant right now, so I'm pursuing my PhD, and as part of that, I help to teach classes that professors are teaching in the department, and then next semester, I'm going to be teaching my first, like, class for college kids, so I'm a little bit nervous about that.
Okay.
Oh, well, man, good luck with that. They're assholes. At least I was.
I know, I'm scared. I'm really scared for, like, the kids that don't say anything, like, you thought a question and have 5 minutes of silence every one of the kids. Or the kid who's like, but why? Why does this matter? This is stupid. Who cares? So I'm anxious.
Well, yeah, let's rewind a bit. I mean, I guess you would be maybe a shining example of not quitting your day job. I mean, you doing all the stuff with, like, the hip-hop music and the gaming stuff. That's not enough for you. You want to pursue a doctorate, or which one would you label either one as, like, your lifelong dream or what?
That's a really great question. I'm not sure, actually. Like, the music thing, I wasn't originally. I literally was like, oh, my God, I'm losing my mind. I need to do something. I need to, like, find an outlet for just kind of expressing myself, because at the time when I started rapping, I was like a little kid teacher in Houston, so I was teaching third and fourth grade students, and they were just, believe it or not, more intense than the college students that I've been dealing with.
Were you having rap battles with your elementary school students?
I kept that completely under wraps. I didn't tell them anything about my music. I was like, because they already, like, kind of didn't take me seriously. They thought I was a kid, and so I had to, like, set up all of this structure in the classroom so that they would believe me that I could actually teach them stuff. But yeah, that originally it was just like, okay, I'm going crazy. I'm teaching these babies that I love but are really, really intense. So I need something. I need an outlet. I need a way to express myself. And I had always had some type of creative outlet, whether that was drawing or writing. But at this particular point in my life, I was like, I want to make music. So I wasn't expecting people to be as receptive as they've been. So that wasn't part of my, like, life goal, to be, like, a, you know, well-known artist. But it's definitely crept into my vision now that I see that there are people who are like, feel that I'm filling some type of need or some type of void in terms of, you know, female rap or whatever you want to call it. But the PhD thing, I mean, it's cool. It's fun.
It's whatever, you know, being a doctor, you know, whatever.
Whatever. It's all right, I guess. But yeah, it's also a part of my trajectory. I just want to be able to educate people, and whether that's through music or through standing in front of a classroom, you know, I haven't necessarily figured that out.
That's a good point, like educating people through music, because most of the songs I've heard from you so far is pretty, I guess you label it conscious rap. It's not a lot of what I like to call bitches and hoes rap, which I like immensely. Some of my favorite rap music.
There's definitely a place and a time for that, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like college.
Also known as college.
You saying I'm still in college? Because I have that in my iPod right now.
Oh, there we go, man.
I got some Young Jeezy in the background, like, ready to go.
Yes.
Can we rewind back to college era rap? Because I saw in the interview that Samus did with Geek Girl Khan that you cite one of your biggest influences as Missy Elliott.
Yeah, definitely.
Her first video was great. Different.
Like, when she came out, I had never seen anybody like her. And she, what I really liked about her was that she didn't seem to be, I think a lot of the time, especially as female artists, we're super consumed with, like, how we look and, like, coming across in a particular type of way. And she just didn't care. She wasn't afraid to look crazy. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, Lil' Kim was all about the, I remember her album cover. I think we had the poster on my wall. It was so ridiculous.
Your mommy got that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she bought it for me. It was a Christmas present. But I remember Missy Elliott was fucking great when she first came out. That first single, I believe it was In My Window or something.
Yeah, I think so.
And I remember that video came on. Me and my cousin were just like, whoa, what is this?
Is that the video where she has like the hefty bag over her and she's just like twisting and jumping and jiving?
I can't stand the rain. Like, she comes from that Timbaland school of a production, though. So, like, it's only right that her beats and her lyrics are just on point.
Oh, for sure, everything. Man.
So, I don't think at the time I wasn't like, oh, my God, I want to be just like her. But when I look back and I see myself, like, watching TV and like, seeing these images of this lady who just clearly does not care at all what anybody thinks. It definitely fed its way into my understanding of like what female artists and artists in general can and, you know, can't do. And you're allowed to push back. You're allowed to like present yourself in any way that you want. And I think prior to that, I didn't necessarily see female artists doing that.
Well, speaking of your inspirations, you named one person as an inspiration or someone you like to follow as Kanye West.
Yes.
How is Kanye West doing nowadays?
Oh my
In
God.
Your eyes. Yeah, can we talk about that Bound video?
Whoa, the best video of all time?
How is Kanye West doing? Well, it's like I will always respect and love Kanye West, no matter what. Like over, I think it was 2 weekends ago, me and one of my friends, literally we sat there for about, like 5 or 6 hours and analyze the video where he says George Bush doesn't care about black people. Like we went through and we like reconstructed the whole thing and thought about that moment in history and how that shook up America in such a like crazy way. So he's really like a powerful, even if he's polarizing, I think he's just, he forces us to kind of look at ourselves in various ways. But in terms of how he's doing right now, you know, I do feel like he's kind of hitting a glass ceiling and you can feel the frustration. For an artist that's been around for a long time, people have expectations of what you should and shouldn't sound like. And that's always actually kind of been a fear of mine, is like when people get comfortable with your sound or think that you should project yourself in a particular type of way, but you want to move in a different direction. Like if he wants to do fashion, if that's one of his artistic capacities and people are saying, no, you're only good for music. Like, why are you trying to branch out and do, you know, fashion stuff? That's not why we love you. Like as an artist or as a creative type, that can be really, really frustrating. So I feel like that's what we're hearing, is people saying, oh, we don't take you seriously as a fashion guy. You're just an artist. And for someone who, myself, I have a lot of creative capacities. Like, I love drawing. If I could have a cartoon today, I would drop everything and go and make a cartoon, you know? And I would be angry if people were like, why is she trying to make a cartoon? She raps and teaches. You know what I mean?
Two points on that real quick. Like, one, I find it interesting that people would have a backlash about Kanye wanting to go into fashion, because I would argue he's done, I don't know, he's expressed himself more in the fashion sense way better than Diddy did.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I remember when he, that whole College Dropout era with the, like, pop collars and stuff, you couldn't, like, I was in college at the time, and you would just see people who literally looked like they saw Kanye West and then just started dressing like him.
See, I thought he always looked like a goddamn fool, but that's just me. I mean, he dressed like a clown from day one, and I'm like, what is this man wearing? But I don't know, I actually think it's more of a issue with
Dasha, you just jealous, man.
Man, I don't like him, like, feminizing, like, the men, like, so much. Like, he dresses like a lady. I don't think.
That doesn't bother me. I think I like that he's opening up hip hop so that we're, because one thing I don't like about one thing that actually has deterred me from pushing further into hip hop is that there's so much ego. Like, there's so much, and I mean, I know Kanye West is all ego, but I feel like we're afraid to be ourselves a lot of the time. We feel like we have to, you know, project a particular type of image. So here he is saying, you can dress however the fuck you want to dress. You know what I mean? If you feel like putting this on, you can put it on. And, you know, where he may put on some things that were like, well, why the fuck are you wearing that?
But I respect that. But I like it when Andre 3000 did it the first time.
Yeah.
This totally is true.
I remember that green fucking feathered hat, and like, that was fucking ridiculous. And I'm like, that's my man right there.
Yeah.
You know what probably happened was they were at a party, you know, and they were about to leave, and then Kanye went into that closet. And he's like, you know what? This, I like this. Came out with the brush. But back to the thing about drawing, having your own show, Samus, I was just going to say, if you haven't thought about it already, you should do a Draw My Life on YouTube.
Oh, I've never heard of that. What is that?
So a lot of people do it. The best one that I can reference to you is Daystorm Power. Are you familiar with that guy?
No.
I'll link you some videos after this call.
Please do.
But
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I think you're making things up again.
This doesn't exist.
I don't think it is. It's real.
Daystorm Power is me.
I think he has an idea. He wants you to, like, start off for him. I think
exactly.
This is some kind of...
Okay, so I'm the guinea pig. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
You got this 360 deal.
I'm done.
Basically, people take a whiteboard, and then they sketch out images, and they're narrating kind of like a selected biography.
Uh-huh.
And usually they turn out motivational. I mean, the dumb ones, it's just like those people, they just have huge fan bases on YouTube, right?
Okay.
So it's just whatever aspect of their life, oh, I just can't get enough of them. But the best ones, it's like the pursuit, the dream, the struggles, the hardships, how they overcame that, like the resolve. And it's a great narrative to shape it.
Yeah,
and something that you could totally do, I think.
That's very cool. And so people are just doing this just to, like, express themselves, or just to, like, share some thoughts, or?
Usually these people, so, like, you have a YouTube celebrity. I mean, you have, like, one of the people that I know who did it. They're usually doing those, like, makeup tutorial videos.
Yeah.
And she just turned out to be, like, a really good artist, too, at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So it was just kind of like, I don't know, a little extra something for her fan base.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I would love to do that. That sounds...
I mean, the Draw My Life series on its own, they've gotten, like, enough pop for, like, just having that visual style. So people who want to check that out, it's a good way to reach that network, too.
Very cool. Well, I would love to... Because I stopped drawing for a very, very long time. And I'll do it, like, sometimes, like, the image for my Another M EP. Like, I drew that little picture, and there's other pictures that I'll throw out there into, like, the Twitterverse or wherever. But there was a time in my life where that's literally, like, I would come home, I would watch Toonami with my little brother, I would do a little bit of homework, and then I would just draw and draw for the rest of the night. You know what I mean? Like, I really thought I was going to have a cartoon. So I want to go back and do that. So this sounds like a great way for me to, like, channel back into that energy, you know?
For sure.
You made me sad saying Toonami and it's
I'm
not
so
there
sorry.
Anymore.
Made myself
I mean,
sad.
I remember, like, waiting to see Dragon Ball Z every day after school. And I would rush home to school to watch Goku beat up Frieza, and it would take literally a month and a half on the power of Super
right,
Saiyan.
Right, right, like 15 years.
Man, later. It just wasn't. But it was worth it. It was worth it at the end. I don't care.
It was worth it. It was the experience. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Now you sound like a parent.
but I got some beef with your with another M album, though.
Why?
Got some beef. All right. Listen, I love Metroid. I love the Another M album. However, you named it after one of the worst Metroid games ever.
So I've been told. I know that. And I mean, I wanted it to be clever. I wanted it to be something that referenced, like, I had already used Mother Brain. Prime.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, let me just figure out another way to reference Metroid in, like, a tricky way. But I have no intentions of, like, referencing that game in this.
Yeah, but don't hate her if she appreciates the little extra TNA that Team Ninja added to Samus.
Listen, for your next one, you just talk to me and we can work this out.
Okay,
Fusion, all right?
For the Game Boy Advance. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we have a few of those out there you can try out. Another M was, I think I played about 10 minutes of it. I'm just like, oh, this is not Metroid. I don't know what this is, but it ain't Metroid.
Some other shit. I agree. But, you know, I was trying to be cute, but evidently it didn't work. It worked for some people. Some people, I guess, you know, turned them off.
So I'm just going to go on a limb and say, like, you probably pleased the majority of the audience, save one person that's on this podcast.
But now I know who it is. Now I know.
I ain't hiding. All right, I'll say it on Twitter. We know that.
Now that we're on topic of this album, though, like, first of all, let me say congrats for, like, destroying your Kickstarter goal.
Thank you so much. I was so anxious. Like, I was supposed to start this actually back in October, and it probably would have been smarter for me to do this when I was going to Nerdapalooza, like the perfect venue. But I was so terrified and crippled with fear that I would look like a complete idiot and raise like 40 cents that I was like, I can't do it. I can't. And finally, I emailed Mega Ran and a whole bunch of people, and I was like, do you think this is feasible? Do you think anybody will pay anything for this? And they were all like, why are you so, like, stressed? Just do it. Like, people will come. They will. Your friends, first of all, don't want to see you asked out. But, you know, other people appreciate Metroid and what you have to say. So just do it. So I'm so happy at the response. But I was not expecting that at all. I wasn't even expecting it to work, to be honest.
I have no idea how many takes it took to put together that video for the Kickstarter, but you seem pretty calm and at peace, and you had that Janelle Monáe weave going on, you know?
No, that was me. That was all me.
Okay, she jacked your style.
Oh, okay. All right.
Don't get it twisted. But yeah, actually there were a lot of takes because I was, like, sleep deprived when I did that. So I was, like, slurring words and messing things up. So maybe afterwards I'll put up, like, an outtakes where you can see me, like, going crazy and cursing every time I mess up the video. But yeah, it went well, or it's going well. It's almost done. I'm happy though.
If I can reference anything from the other Kickstarters that I've kept up with, you know, there's VGO, the video game orchestra that pulled together something. It's not always just raising the funds and, like, reaching your target. That's the tough part. It's like following through with, like, the deadlines you set for yourself afterwards, because I think they're basically done now, but they've had to push back, like, reward dates and, like, release dates and stuff.
Oh no!
I got my CD like last month, and
yeah,
a while.
Wait, when did the campaign end?
It's like a year ago almost.
Yeah, now. Right. Yeah, yeah, like a year ago. I thought it was gonna be long by saying that, but yeah, it's like a year ago, and I got my CD from them, like, yeah, earlier, like, probably a couple of months ago.
Like a physical CD, though, or just, like, the digital?
Oh, no, just the digital.
Yeah. The physical one still doesn't come out till April, I don't think.
That's intense. See, when you're filling out the Kickstarter, they ask you to fill out, like, put down potential, like, risks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that forced me to think about what I wrote down, or what I've written down, is basically that because I am also a PhD student, that's why I didn't elect to put together a full-length album, because I knew that I just wouldn't, you know, my winter break is not long enough for me to sit down here and actually put together an album. But seven songs is not undoable, and I've already started on about three of them. So I definitely was thinking about time constraints when putting this project together, because I didn't want to have all these people who are like, oh, I'm excited about this, and then I'm sending them something 7 months down the line, like, here you go, thanks for giving me all this money to put this thing together. That's awful. That's the worst.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I definitely forgot it even happened. I got an email like, oh, yeah, I did contribute to this.
I did,
like,
give money to these people.
Yeah, that happened.
You were talking about being kind of apprehensive. No, that wasn't the word. You were terrified of, you know, how the Kickstarter would turn out. I mean, would you say that the Kickstarter gave you more fear than performing on stage?
Definitely. Definitely. Because this is like you're performing on stage for 30 days. You know, like, your people are seeing, you know, how confident the rest of the world is about your idea or your dream for a month or however long you decide to stretch out the Kickstarter. Whereas a performance, you know, you go out there, maybe you fumble a few words or whatever, but it's done in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, however long your set is, you walk away. And you usually get to, at least in nerdcore settings, like, I find that I end up talking to people in the audience a lot afterwards. So even if I wasn't amazing or I messed something up, I feel like there's redemption there. We can talk, we can hang out, we can be cool. But with this, it's like, oh, you didn't raise the funds, goodbye, sorry. So yeah, this was definitely a lot more terrifying for me at first. And then I also hate asking for things. It like makes me feel itchy. I feel bad.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's hard to ask another grown person for something that otherwise you can kind of do. If you really save up and do all, take the time, you might be able to do it yourself, but it's kind of hard to ask another grown person, like, hey, you want to give me money to do this thing? That'd be great.
Right, to do this thing that isn't finished. Like, you're paying me based on faith. In addition, I know that times are hard. You know, I actually sometimes feel guilt because it's like, oh man, like, all these funds and people are out here starving. And
I mean, feel free to pay me back. I mean, I'm not guilty about it.
No.
I'm not going to decline. I'll take that back.
But it's definitely something that crosses my mind, even as just an artist. I think, you know, it's an egotistical enterprise. You feel like you have this thing that has to be shared with the world, this personal vision. And there's other ways that you can contribute. So I go back and forth between feeling like, oh, I should just kind of sacrifice all this stuff and go and help communities or people in other ways than just, you know, making beats and rapping about things that I see, you know.
So that's the real reason why you want to be a teacher. It's like, I'm paying my debt back to society, right?
Yeah, kind of. I never thought that I was that type of person. Like, I definitely care about social justice, but I think increasingly I'm starting to think more about ways that I can impact the world around me, not just through kind of artistic expression, which is really, really, really important. And even though it's getting cut from school programs, it is a critical part of any child's development. So I would never say that that's like secondary, but I know that I can do a lot more than I'm already doing to improve the world around me.
Now, why do you think that's so important to you? Because there's plenty of other musicians where it's like they'd be happy to make the whole story all about them.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a part of my upbringing. So both my parents are professors. They're both very, very interested in issues of development related to Africa. They're both from, my mom is from the Ivory Coast and my dad is from the Congo. So when I was young, they made sure we knew about injustice in the world. And my great uncle is Patrice Lumumba, who's the first prime minister of the Congo. He was assassinated by the CIA. And so there's this in my family.
What's happening now?
Isn't that crazy? In my family, there's just been this thread of like fighting for what you believe in, regardless of what the kind of repercussions are. So I knew I couldn't be a bitch and hoes type of rapper. Like, I just doesn't vibe with like what I have been raised to believe. And I definitely think there's a place for that, but it wouldn't even be genuine coming from me.
Mm. Hold on. John, did you know that she's being watched by CIA?
All I'm saying is we just got 10 more podcast listeners thanks to this
country. And it's all the NSA. Like, they're all just listening right now. Like,
Sorry, guys. I put you in danger. I shouldn't have done that.
If this is the last episode, you know why. just a heads up.
It's been real.
Yeah, a nice run.
So, I mean, okay, outlining that family background and history, I can totally see them being really proud of your pursuits and education. Now, did you receive any backlash from the family when you said you wanted to do music and rap, especially? I didn't know if it was like, how dare you want to do the hippity hop, you know?
Well, sort of. My older brother, so he
Whoops, editorial hiccup. She's about to say her brother's the guitarist for Gym Class Heroes. Whoa!
I rap
I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, Gym Class Heroes.
stuff. But so he's the guitarist for that group. And so he was here at Cornell and then decide at Cornell University. And then he decided to go and pursue music. So he's kind of already like had that conversation with my parents. They flipped out. They were kind of like, wait a second. So we just, pushed you to go through at this top school, and now you're gonna go and do the hippity hop, basically. So I think because I'm also pursuing a PhD, it's not as crazy for them. Like they're really kind of like, I love them to pieces. Really like traditional, straight and narrow. Like, these are the ways that you should give back to the world. But I never talked to them about it. Like I never was like, hey, mom, I'm gonna be a rapper. I never, ever, ever would talk to them about that. The only reason that they found out was other people were like, oh, your daughter's Samus, and they're like, what the hell are you talking about? So they started doing the research and they're like, oh shit, Samus is Anango. Oh my God. So my mom will be like, you really shouldn't curse as much in your music. And, but I think they're pretty cool with it because I'm also doing the PhD thing. Now, if I were to be like make an album like Grad School Dropout or something, that would be a whole different conversation.
All right, that about does it for part one with Samus. You can find part two under the multicast banner with Basher over at biasbear.com. Should be up later this week. After the bloop, you can hear the contact information for Samus and Basher. Hope you enjoyed part one. Check out part two.
Where are all the ways that people can reach you?
Okay, so you can reach me at Samus, Sammus Music, and I added that extra MA because I didn't want to get sued because I know Nintendo doesn't play games. But I also wanted to kind of differentiate myself from the original character. So it's SammusMusic, .com or any of my social media. It's just whatever the social media is slash Samus Music. So Facebook.com slash Samus Music, Twitter.com slash Samus Music, Instagram.com, all that stuff. You can find me there. I will be hard at work finishing up this semester and putting together this another MEP. And then in the summer, I will be dropping my third album.
Basher, how about you shoot your contact info too, man?
But you can find me over at biasbear.com, the multicast podcast. We talk about video games and go off the rails and talk about whatever else you want to talk about. But that's basically it. Oh yeah, on Twitter, the multitap, at the multitap. So look me up there too.